two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. It's time for the Jazz Notes podcast. My name is Cleon Wall. Spencer Hall joining me here today. Hall and Wall.
I like that. We missed opportunity.
Getting back together again. The boys are back in town. Let's see what other dumb things I can come up with. Anyway, you are listening to Jazz Notes podcast. We come to you from the broadcast house of KSL News Radio. It is just before Thanksgiving. And I was searching for something, Spencer, that kind of would define the Utah Jazz's five-game road trip. And okay. I stumbled upon this. These are the two old guys that sit in the theater during the Muppet Show.
Right, okay. Right.
I think this will kind of sum up how I feel about the road trip.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
Oh, it was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo!
Doesn't that kind of sum up the road trip right there? I mean, not perfectly, not in a linear fashion right there, but doesn't that kind of sum up this road trip? You had some great moments there, even in that Philadelphia 76ers loss. You had great moments in that game. You had a great game from Donovan Mitchell against the Celtics, and then you have that loss to the Mavericks. Ugh. You have an ugly win against the Grizzlies. Ugh. And then, oh my goodness, what happened against the Indiana Pacers?
Right, and beat Boston. It was amazing to watch the reaction online, too. I mean, after that Dallas loss, people thought the world was over. You know, there's always going to be a bad loss, but that was really bad. It was strange. I mean, 13 points in one quarter, 9 points in the other quarter. And we have to remember that this is the most difficult schedule in the league so far. Things are going to even out, and the Jazz are going to get back around. We also have to remember that last year they were kind of terrible up until January, February, and then kind of pulled it together. Also, if a few shots drop, a few things go the other way, they win a few of those games. I think they're just getting a little bit of a reality check that a lot of teams in the league are trying to level up to where the Warriors are playing. Some of these teams are realizing, look, we're not going to be able to compete, and we don't want to show up and be embarrassed every time. And so it shouldn't be any surprise that a lot of players this summer got healthy. They got, you know, they worked on their game. We're seeing some guys, Kemba Walker's doing some things. You know, guys are really coming out and playing, and the Jazz are taking the brunt of it. They're playing on the road. But here's my thing, and I always say it. It's no time to panic. The Jazz are going to be fine. And I think we saw enough. That Boston win was fun. We see it enough that they've got it in them. And I think that's what's frustrating. I think people say, well, why don't you do that all the time? It's just sort of like a tweet I saw the other day that somebody said, well, why don't teams just score touchdowns all the time?
Why don't they always run the two-minute right. offense? Yeah. I mean, you it seems like they score every single time. Why don't they do it? There are reasons why. I know where you're coming from. So I totally get it. It's funny. I'm on two ends here. I'm on the end of, you know, like Aaron Rodgers, and I don't have that soundbite, where after the Green Bay Packers struggled one year, one of my favorite soundbites is him saying, relax. And it's kind of like, it's okay. It's a long season. Don't worry about it. We're going to come around. I have this part of me that says, relax. It's not quite, you know, a quarter into the season. They played some tough teams. Teams have been gunning. They've already played the Celtics twice. Now, granted, the Celtics aren't really the team we thought they were, at least start the season, but they could also come around. I have this part of me that says, relax, it's okay. And then I have this other part of me that's like, oh my goodness, what is going on? And it's interesting to see Donovan Mitchell. It's an interesting three games to me, Spencer, by Donovan Mitchell. He has no assists against Philadelphia, and he has way too many shots.
And he got criticized roundly.
He got criticized for it, but they stayed in the game. Okay. Next game, he plays the all-around perfect game. He scores 28 points against the Celtics. He blocks Gordon Hayward. He shoots well. He does all these things well. And then he plays against the Indiana Pacers two nights later, and he only has 7 points in the game. It's kind of like this big dichotomy of, well, is he the guy? Is he not the guy?
Oh, he's the guy.
No, and I know he's the guy. It's just that you're like, can your guy have games like that where he only scores seven points in the game?
He's still a second-year player. Like, I have nothing but confidence in Donovan Mitchell. The other thing is, listen, I remember at the end of the season a couple of years ago, Ronnie Price had played on the team, undersized, you know, went to UVU, local guy, could jump out of the gym, had a lot of athleticism in his game. He's hurt for most of the year. I'm talking to him at locker cleanout, and he says something to me like, he's like, I didn't forget how to play basketball. He's like, I can't even feel my leg. And I'm not making excuses for Donovan Mitchell, but he got, you know, he's missed a couple games. He had some things. I can't imagine what it's like for these guys that rely so much on their body to go out. Man, I can't even hardly like get into work if I like sprain my back or something, and they have to go out there and play. I'm guessing that there's something nagging on him, and this total speculation. I have no idea, but I, you know, he'll learn. He's a second year player. He'll learn how to fight through it. Karl Malone and John Stockton learned how to do that. But I don't think it's a surprise right now that he's kind of got some up and down games, still trying to learn how to be consistent. And listen, I'll take it. It's, you know, second year player, you know, 20 something games into the season, I'll take it. I'll take Donovan Mitchell all day long.
Is it saying something, though, that he fueled himself off that criticism of the Philadelphia 76ers game, and he had that amazing game against the Celtics, but he just could not sustain it? And it reminds me of what a lot of coaches say about rivalry games. By the way, on the eve of the week of the BYU-Utah rivalry, every time we talk about a rivalry and you say, you know, you talk about the emotion of coming out there and you want to get the upper hand, and then you get hit the first time and then you realize, oh, geez, there goes all the emotion type of thing. That's kind of what this reminds me of with Donovan. He came out with so much emotion in that Celtics game. And I know it was two nights later, but two nights later, he plays against the Indiana Pacers. And you could go a lot of different ways, but it just seems like he could not hold it. And I'm not gonna criticize him for it, just because, as you said, he's a second-year player. And that's a lot to put on a second-year player saying, hey, you, a buddy, you're the savior of the franchise right now. So I think that's a lot to put on him right now. And I think he learns from that and he moves forward. But, you know, when Jeremiah and I, we did the podcast last week, we were talking about the MVP so far this season. I was joking, you know, 13 games of the season, who's your MVP? And I kind of cheated and I said, I think it was the team. The team is the MVP, because when the team plays well, you know, they win. It just seems like if a couple of guys have off nights, they don't, you know, the team just kind of struggles. And so I really think, again, you look at it and you see these games and you're like, when the team plays well, they usually win. And I know that's stupid of me to say.
But I think looking back on it, that's kind of been the signature of the Snyder era, that when they're clicking, they can beat anybody. They can beat the Warriors. They can beat any team. But then when the wheels come off, they come off big. They come off 55 points or whatever it was, 50 points, you know, in a loss to the Mavericks. And so there's something about his system that when everyone buys in and everyone does it, it's very effective. But if there's one weak link, it looks like it really falls apart quickly. I've been paying attention to his comments about effort, and that's the thing that I think has everybody frustrated. There's nights when it doesn't seem like the guys are totally engaged or what their mindset is, and I think that's the part that needs to change. I think the fun part about last year, especially down the stretch, is that even when they were losing, it felt like they were laying everything out on the line. And that's what I think they need to make sure is their identity, that like fans will go on that ride with you when you're losing games. But if they feel like you're not putting up effort, or, you know, you're not prepared, or you're not coming to play, that's when the fans start to get frustrated.
Is there too much pressure on Donovan Mitchell right now? Does someone need to take that pressure off of him so that he doesn't feel like he needs to save this team when they struggle? And do they have that on this team right now?
I think he's up to the challenge. I don't think mentally that weighs on him, but I think he does carry a heavy burden. And I think the team is kind of learning their identity. I don't think they expected him to emerge the way he did at the end of last season. And, you know, I think there's something to be said with the attention that he's getting, that he's not, you know, he's the focus now. He's not he's kind of the face of the league. You know, I think he's up to the challenge of carrying the team, but other guys on the team have to be able to, like, you know, make it happen. I think we need to see more consistency from all the guys on the team. I mean, not just Donovan Mitchell, but they are looking to him kind of like the Karl Malone role back in the day. You knew you were going to get 20 and 10 out of him every night, and then everybody else filled in around the edges.
You know, we talked about we're almost a quarter of the way through the season. When do you stop saying it, the season is early and that this team is not what we hope for? Or is that? Or, you know, how much farther can we go into the season and not continually go back to, oh, it's okay, they can still rebound. It's all right. They can still turn things around.
The All-Star break.
Really? You're going to go that far?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I think everything is preamble until then, and then after that, we see where they go. I'm not worried. I'm the eternal optimist, where I feel like as long as I'm being entertained along the way, I'm happy with whatever they're doing. But if they're losing by 50, you know, around the All-Star break, no. Then we need to have some serious talks. They all need to come into my office and I have a tough one-on-one with each of them.
29-6 last year, that was their last 35 games. Is that jadis about this team right now? Because we know not so much that they can turn it on, but just like you talked about, they seem to be able to, you know, when they're playing as a team, they seem to be able to play really good basketball. Again, that kind of sounds dumb. When they play as a team, they play really well. But that's usually most teams. But you know you're not going to get that every night from everyone. You know that there are going to be nights when you don't have that. We've seen that just this past road trip as I spit all over the studio as I'm talking. Sorry about that.
No, nice, though, to see. I think finally the Jazz are expected to win. Like, it's been a long time since I expected the Jazz to win some of these big games. You hoped and you wanted them to, but you didn't expect it. It felt like last season they won every time it was a really big matchup. You know, there were only a few times when they didn't win. But listen, that win on the road against Memphis, I love that. That win against Boston on the road, I love that. So they still have it. I'm not worried. I think I would rather know that they have the ability to win and that they just need to, like, fix some mindset or some preparation things rather than they just are terrible, because they're certainly not terrible. They're great. So I'll take work out some kinks versus they just don't have the horses.
29-6. I think that still kind of jades us a bit, Spencer. I think it does.
We expect more out of them.
Yeah. I think we see that from last year, but I maybe it gives us hope too, because we know what they can do. We know what kind of a team they can be because they did go 29-6 at the end of last season. So I guess it gives you a little bit of hope there too. You know, the one thing we know about this is that they are consistently inconsistent, at least right now. I guess the other thing that kind of makes you wonder about how they're going to turn out is that you're looking at the Warriors right now. The Warriors are really struggling. And you're thinking, gee, this would be nice if you were playing better, because then you could, you know, supposedly make a little bit of a move. But they can't do that right now. I would probably say, you said All-Star game. I'm going to say the end of December, because they play some big games in the month of December, and I will say late in December. They're going to host,
including Christmas Day.
Yes, they're going to play the Trailblazers. That same week, they're going to be playing the 76ers. You've got some other teams that are coming. And the good thing, too, is that you're going to see a lot more games at home. So I think that could help them. That could help them out also. So I'm not ready to jump off the Jazz bandwagon yet, but I think that you've got to start looking at whether or not this team can conjure up some magic as the season goes along, and what is it going to take? And I think you're probably still in the camp that you don't want to see anyone get traded. You want to see this team stay as the team for the entire season.
99% of the time, that's where my head is. There are some spicy players being floated.
And are you talking about the Washington Wizards?
Yeah, I mean, that would be. Listen, I love the way they play. John Wall, I think Beal is available. I think anybody on that roster is available. I don't think the Wizards are going to remain intact. But no, my philosophy is always, listen, this is my team. My team is on the floor, as they say in Hoosiers. and I just want to see everyone get better. I want to see everyone play to their best ability. I don't like the whole idea of moving guys around. I don't like playing GM. It's not my thing. I like, these are the guys. Let's see how they can play better.
I totally get that. It's funny when the rumors were floated out there, and the guy I would think about if you were going to go for the Wizards, which, by the way, we know nothing. Dwight Howard. No. No. The only person that I think of that the Jazz would, maybe they would want someone like an Otto Porter Jr., but you got a lot of wings on your team. I'm not sure that's the guy you're looking for.
Great player.
I would probably look more toward Bradley Beal, but then reality hits me, and it's just like,
yeah, who are you going to give up?
Who are the Jazz going to give up to get a guy like a Bradley Beal? He'd be a good guy to run alongside Donovan Mitchell, but then again, then you're also saying to yourself, well, where does Ricky Rubio fit in? Maybe he's traded away, but they've already got John Wall. Anyway, the point is that I'm not sure there's really anyone the Jazz can offer the Wizards that would get Bradley Beal in return unless it's cap relief. And I'm speaking of Derek Favors because the team can opt out of his contract, and also maybe Alec Burke, something like that, and maybe you throw in a draft pick. But it's not like the Jazz have a bunch of draft picks. It's not like they're the Celtics and they can say, hey, let's just offer a bunch of draft picks for a guy right now.
It's hard when your team is based on chemistry. I feel like the chemistry is the secret, and the Jazz have said that the secret of our team, or how do they say it, the key to our team is the team, or the
team is everything.
I know, but
they have
some other phrase. I'm butchering it right now, but basically that's it. That the team is the team. You know, that's the secret. And I think the sum of the parts are really, you know, the total is showing to be better than the sum of the parts. So I don't know. As soon as you move one of those pieces, you see a situation like where the Wizards looked great on paper, and they are an absolute train wreck. I mean, they're talking about blowing the whole thing up. Hard to not point a finger at Dwight Howard in that, but you know, there's clearly something going on there, and some teams that should be doing better are performing terribly.
You read a lot about it, and there's just a lot of infighting, and that's the other thing. When you think about it, you're like, well, even if Bradley Beal is this all-world talent, maybe he's not the problem or not, but you do have to think, do you really want to bring him in and not only ruin the chemistry here, but bring what kind of a player he's been, and I don't know much about Bradley Beal, but bring whatever he's been in, and now he's going to come into this situation, and would you want him to be in this situation? I mean, we talked about earlier, would you trade for Jimmy Butler, and you were like, age-wise, no, probably not, but you also have to think of what he is personally to the team, and that's what I have to think about with Bradley Beal, too, or maybe even John Wall. Individually, they look great, but how much are they going to help your team, or how much would they ruin your team right now?
If you Jimmy were able Butler, to track- that's a great question. I still don't bring him on. I think he's trouble. But he looks like he's having a good experience in Philadelphia. That might be a great fit for him. Might be a nice spot.
So we've got the Thanksgiving holidays coming up here, Spencer. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for, and what should Jazz fans be thankful for during this Thanksgiving season? Not that they're going to listen to you to say what you should be thankful for, but hey,
no,
give it a try.
Listen, Donovan Mitchell, I don't know. You know, we had a horrible tragedy here in Utah. The mayor of North Salt Lake lost his life. He's also, you know,
North
serving.
Ogden.
What did I say?
North Salt Lake.
Oh, I meant North Ogden. Thank you for the correction. No, but, you know, in Afghanistan, lost his life. Donovan Mitchell met with the family. And, you know, he does these things, and I just see the things he does. And it's not like he's just good for an athlete. He's good if he were, like, the president of the United States. I love the way he approaches his mindset, the things he does professionally. And I'm thankful in a world where we have leaders who don't set a good example of civility and being our best selves. I mean, to have somebody like that in our community who's being that kind of an example for kids, he's being an example of leadership. He's fun to watch regardless. I think we're really lucky, and I'd like to see more people aspire to be like him. And it takes a guy like him coming around to have kids say, I want to be like that when I grow up, and I want to be like Donovan Mitchell when I grow up. So that's what I'm thankful for.
Is that what you want to be when you grow up? You want to be like Donovan Mitchell? Maybe not the basketball. Well, no, you probably
want to be. I want to be about him every single
Oh, my goodness. The love train continues.
What about you? What's your...
I would probably say the one thing I'm thankful for, if I'm a Jazz fan, the one thing I'm thankful for is this is a likable team.
For
this,
sure.
This is a team that, again, we saw it last year, and it's just continued into this year. And when we talk about trades, every time I think of, well, let's see, who could we trade? I keep going, and there are a couple of guys that I think I would, you know, the Jazz could get away with trading, but every time I think about it, I'm like, do I really want to trade that guy away? He really fits in this team well, and he really helps this team out, and, you know, I keep going on. It's a likable team. It's not a team, and I'm not saying the Golden State Warriors are not happy, but they've got some drama right now. There are a lot of other teams with drama right now. Even though the Jazz, the only drama that they have right now, to me, is the fact that they aren't playing as well as probably they expected to and the fans expected to. Really, other than that, it's a fun team.
Absolutely. Every guy on the roster, you root for them. You want them to do well. They're fun to watch. It would be so sad to see them go. I'm right there with you. I love how likable this team is. It's a fun aspect of the team.
I would probably say the other person I'm thankful for is Joe Ingles. Yes, head banjo.
I thought you were going to say Spencer Hall.
No. Okay. I can go with Spencer Hall. I'm thankful for Spencer Hall coming in and doing this podcast with me when no one else would. Okay, Jeremiah had the day off, and, well, you know, Alex is doing something else.
Headband Joe was fantastic. What a great moment that was.
Yes. I'm just grateful that he's on the team. I wish he would shoot more consistently, but you know what? Don't care. I love Joe Ingles. Yeah. I love that he's on this team. Grateful he's on this team. We hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. We thank you for listening and downloading the Jazz Notes podcast. We came in here kind of not at the last minute, but we rushed in here. Spencer's got to run out to a dinner. I've got to go run and do some stuff with my daughter. Thanks for listening to the Jazz Notes podcast. We'll have much more coming up. Happy Thanksgiving. Only podcast this week. No more this week. Enjoy the turkey. Enjoy the stuffing. Enjoy the podcast. Enjoy your family. And thanks a lot for listening. We'll talk to you soon.